So we're at a point in our study that we're going to look at the New Testament. And we're going to start with the Gospels. And when you look at the New Testament, it's divided essentially into three different parts. First part, the life of Christ, which we read about in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we have a historical book. And that is the book of Acts. And that connects the Gospels with the epistles. The Gospels were the life of Christ, how he came on earth and dwelled among men. Many of them didn't believe, but some did. And when you get to Acts, which we're currently studying, we see how the church being born, how the people, the apostles first, boldly go out and proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then when you get into the latter books, the epistles, they teach us how you and I are supposed to live, how you and I are supposed to conduct our Christian walk of life. Paul wrote many of the epistles. And then we come to the prophetic book of Revelation that John had written. So tonight we're going to start with the book of Matthew. We look at the Gospels, which are the life of Christ. And we see from his birth, what he had done. Some accounts give us his childhood, but more important, his ministry. Well, how he conducted his ministry on this earth. And we as Christians could learn a lot from what Jesus had done. We as Christians, myself totally included, on the way Jesus accepted everyone, no matter what nationality, no matter where that person was in his life, a sinner. Jesus accepted everyone, and he teaches us how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in our lives. And tonight we're going to look at Matthew's account, what he recorded about the life of Christ. As I had stated before, Steve Lofton, he had broken up the scroll of Matthew into 28 chapters. And we see in the book that Jesus is the Messiah. And this gospel presents Jesus as the Messiah, the king, and fulfills prophecy. This gospel emphasizes Jesus' sermons and prophecies. And the key lesson we could draw from the book, the Gospel of Matthew, is that Christ is the Messiah and the king. And his kingdom begins with us. As the apostles proclaim the message of the cross, when they're gone, it's up to you and I to continue. We have a responsibility to share that message with others. And Jesus in this book, the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Jesus is the Messiah who is king. Now, people back in the day, they were looking for a Messiah who was going to be their king. However, they were looking for an earthly king. Our king is Jesus the Christ. And Matthew points that out in his gospel. The outline of the book of Matthew It's relatively simple, and I'm just going to share some of those points with you this evening. The first two chapters essentially introduces Jesus' birth and its significance. We see in chapters 3 through 25, Jesus' teaching and ministry. And we were to break that down in Matthew 3 through 7, Jesus gains followers, chapters 3 and 4. And we all know too well from chapters 5 through 7, we read about the Sermon on the Mount. In chapters 8 through 10, Jesus works miracles. And he sends his disciples out. Chapters 11 through 13, we see that Jesus is confronted, withdrawn, talks about parables of the kingdom. He shares that with not only his disciples or apostles, but with people who are following him. From chapters 13 through 18, Jesus is revealed as the Son of God, and how greatness works in the kingdom. He talks about that in the 18th chapter. As we continue with Jesus' teaching and ministry, we see that in Matthew chapters 19 through 25, the people are struggling with Jesus' kingship. Here's a guy that's teaching. His teachings are hard to understand sometimes, but why do people accept him as a king? He claims to be the king. He claims to be the Son of God. We see that Jesus teaches of judgment in the kingdom to come. And then we read about Jesus' crucifixion in 26th and 27th chapter. Jesus' sacrifice, victory, and commission to his disciples in Matthew 26 and 27. And I think I missed. In the final chapter, we read about Jesus' commission to his disciples or apostles. His 11 disciples that were with him, he told them, go, baptize, teach, and we'll get to that. So the principal divisions of the gospel according to Matthew are the infancy narrative, the proclamation of the kingdom, the ministry and mission in Galilee. That's where it started. Opposition from Israel. The Sadducees and Pharisees see that this teaching, and we talked about that Sunday. We touched upon that Jesus was teaching, the apostles were teaching about resurrection. And they didn't want to hear that because that's upsetting the apple cart. That's going away from the teaching of the Sadducees. But the Pharisees liked that. They believed in an afterlife. So there was some conflict within the nation of Israel. We see that Jesus taught about the kingdom and the church. We see his ministry in Judea and Jerusalem. And finally, we see the passion and resurrection. And that's the whole point when you read the Gospels. You want to dig into God's word so that you could apply those things to your lives, so that you could instruct others about what happened. We can't do that if we don't read the word. We may think, well, I could read that one time and I know. But what God the Father expects from you and I is not only to read, but to meditate on this word, to pray about what you are reading so that you may understand, to apply those things that you read to your lives so that you may be better servants of the Lord. As we go into Matthew, we see that Matthew's gospel that clearly shows the illegality of the Sanhedrin's actions. They just was out in left field. The perversion of the Old Testament by the scribes and Pharisees, and the nature of God's dealing with his people. They had the oracles of God, the Israelites, but yet they refused to listen to him. They want to go about their business their way. Matthew shows Jesus' teaching in five major discourses in the book. We see that he talks about ethics. He talks about discipleship and mission. There's a direction he wants his followers to go. There's a direction that he wants believers to follow him. We also see about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew points this out and shares through the Holy Spirit's inspiration what Jesus had shared with him. Jesus also talks about the church and eschatology. So those are five major points or discussions that Matthew shares in the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew, and his name means gift of Jehovah, a Jew himself, who wrote from a Jewish point of view and uses scripture from the Old Testament. That's a lesson for us today. When we talk about Jesus, when we share the life of Jesus, we should go back to the prophets and see what they said about the Messiah. See how they predicted, how God told his mouthpieces, the prophets, to share with the children of Israel. And it reinforces the New Testament in our lives so that we could, again, boldly go out and proclaim God's message. Matthew was once a despised tax collector. You know, back in the day, they didn't like those guys collecting taxes for the Roman government. Well, they collected monies from the people, lots of monies. They gave the government some, and some of those tax collectors pocket some of them. So they weren't good people. But then Matthew became one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He presents Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel. He traces Jesus' genealogy to David and Abraham. And this genealogy is that of Joseph, therefore establishing official title to the throne. If we had to go to the book of Luke, which we'll cover in a couple of weeks, we see that Luke, he also shares the genealogy of Jesus, but through Mary. And we could see how that ties together. I had a chart that I looked at, and it shows the genealogy and how everything came together. But when you read the Matthew's account, you see how this was so important that he wrote about it. And then when you look at genealogies, is the children of Israel love genealogies? But the only genealogy that is still here is Jesus. Nobody else's. No Israelite today can go back to his father Abraham. But Jesus can. And we have that recorded not only in Matthew, but also in Luke. The Gospel of Matthew discusses the lineage, birth, and the early life of Christ in the first two chapters. From there, the book discusses the ministry of Jesus. The descriptions of Christ's teachings are arranged around discourses, such as the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 through 7. In chapter 10, involves the mission and purpose of the disciples. Chapter 13 is a collection of parables. Chapter 18 discusses the church. Chapter 23 begins a discourse about hypocrisy in the future. Chapters 21 through 27 discuss the arrest, torture, and execution of Jesus. And the final chapter describes the resurrection and the Great Commission. So when you look at the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we see that he's sharing what Jesus had shared with him over the course of 3.5 years. Matthew wrote his account of Jesus' ministry to show that Jesus was and indeed the King, Israel's long-awaited Messiah. In a world where many in the Jewish community have claimed the role of Messiah for themselves, Matthew's commitment to grounding the life of Jesus in the Old Testament raised Jesus above the multitudes of the false messiahs. The apostle painted a portrait of our Lord that highlights his uniqueness among all others to have ever walked on this earth. After enduring 400 years of prophetic silence, God's people must have wondered if he deserted them. After centuries of regular communication from God, the people found themselves without a genuine prophet or spokesman of God. And now they're wondering, why is God closing off this communication? We as Christians today are very fortunate. We have that avenue of communication to our Heavenly Father, through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful blessing that is for you and I. The ministries of Matthew and Jesus reminded God's people that he had not forgotten them. When Jesus was here teaching, healing people, and using parables, people came to him in droves. Some of them listened, many fell away. Just as today, when we share the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, some people are going to listen. Others are not going to accept that. All we can do is plant a seed. Someone else would water, and maybe that seed may take off, and that individual's heart may be turned to God. Matthew's intended audience was his fellow Jews, many of whom, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees stubbornly refused to accept Jesus as their Messiah. Regardless of the centuries of reading and studying the Old Testament, their eyes were blinded to the truth of who Jesus was. Matthew seeks to encourage Jewish Christians and all future disciples, like you and I, to stand strong despite opposition. They should feel secure in the knowledge of their citizenship in God's kingdom. Matthew shows that Gentiles also can find salvation through Jesus the Messiah. Matthew quotes more than 60 times from prophetic passages of the Old Testament, demonstrating how Jesus fulfilled them. We also should be looking at that and tying not only the Old Testament to the New Testament, but it's important that we see that the Old Testament will lead us to Jesus. And that's what we should be sharing, not only in our Christian walk of life, but also sharing with others. Matthew quotes extensively from the prophets, frequently using the phrase, as was spoken through the prophets. And there's a number of references for your consideration. And again, when I send this PowerPoint to Jerry, he'll have that posted on our website. Hopefully my internet is back and working tomorrow so I could do that. There are verses referring to the Old Testament prophecies. His virgin birth in Bethlehem. Can I get a volunteer to read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, please?
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel.
Thank you, Carolyn. You can go next. When you read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this is 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus. And God is sharing with his prophet Isaiah about the virgin birth. And he's saying that this individual, she will call his name Emmanuel. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2,
but as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be the ruler of Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity.
Thank you, Rob. And I appreciate that. Thank you, Eileen, for starting that. That's right. Okay.
Excuse me, Lenny.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Did someone start reading when I started there in the
Bible? No, that's all right. No, that's all right. We'll work it out.
Okay, because I couldn't hear them.
Okay. We see, again, verses from the Old Testament referring to the prophecies about Jesus. He returned from Israel after the death of Herod. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. We also see his ministry to the Gentiles. And Eileen, can you read this one for me, please? Yeah, go ahead, Eileen.
But there will be no people. see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will find them.
Thank you. So we see that Isaiah talks about these Gentiles going to be joining. And again, in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, we see arise, shine, for your lights have come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise up you and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Again, nations, which includes the Gentiles. And his miraculous healing of both body and soul. And can I get a volunteer to read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4?
Surely our grief seeks itself forth, and our sorrows he carries. Yet we ourselves seem constricted, and the God.
Thank you. So it's about Jesus. And he's speaking in parables. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 2, we read, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And why did Jesus talk with parables? Why do you think he used parables?
They wouldn't really understand him if he talked straight out, so they used examples.
Exactly.
That they would be able to understand.
And if they did catch on to the parables, they would know what he was saying. But they didn't. A lot of people didn't. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Zechariah talks about that, and we studied him a couple of weeks ago. Or less. It was last week. We talked about the book of Zechariah. There you go. In Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. And how did Jesus enter Jerusalem before his death? On a donkey. Again, the prophet is talking about Jesus before Jesus' time. Jesus performed many healings and miracles. The leper was healed in Matthew chapter 8. Servant boy of a Roman army captain paralyzed, a Gentile hearing. In Matthew 8, 5 through 13, Peter's mother-in-law had a high fever. Jesus healed her. Demon-possessed people. Demons fled, sick were healed. Matthew 8. Demon-possessed men. The demons were sent into pigs. They were drowned. The paralyzed boy. Jesus healed. He jumped up and was cured. The rabbi's dead daughter restored to a life. And two blind men, their sight returned. Here's miracles that are proclaiming his power. Great, the people thought that they were fabulous. But did they believe? What would you do if you saw these miracles? And here's someone teaching and preaching and performing miracles. Would you turn your back on Jesus? We don't know what we would have done if we were back in the day. But now when we reflect upon God's word, we could see that maybe we should have paid more attention if we were back in those people. Should have paid more attention because God was among them. We also see that a demon-possessed man couldn't speak. His speech was restored. and the demon left in chapter 9 of Matthew. Jesus fed 5,000 people with two loaves, with five loaves and two fish. And they had 12 full baskets left over in the 14th chapter. We also see that he was walking on water. And disciples were in trouble on the lake with rough seas. So Jesus walked on the water out to them. Peter saw Jesus and he walked on the water to Jesus, but began to sink. So Jesus rescued him. The winds and seas were calm. Jesus had control over nature. And that's found in the 14th chapter. Canaanite woman. She requested her daughter be healed from demons. And Jesus granted her request because of a faith and a perseverance. A lesson for us today. Where is our faith? How strong is our faith for our Lord? Do we persevere in times of trials and tribulations in our life? And we all are affected different ways. We all have different things that affect us. But stand fast for Jesus. Again, Jesus had the opportunity to feed 4,000 people in Matthew chapter 15. He had seven loaves of bread and a few small fish. And when everybody was satisfied, when everybody was filled, there were seven full baskets of leftovers. That's amazing. And again, in Matthew 20, we read about two blind men and their sight was returned. I wish we had time to go through each and every one of these miracles and healings, but we don't. But when you read the book of Matthew and you come across these miracles of healing, miracles of feeding the multitudes, just think about your Savior, Jesus. And he did this. He did it because he wanted to. He shows us that he's a servant. And when we read in the book of Mark, Mark refers to Jesus as the suffering servant. He suffered and died for you and I so that we may have the opportunity for salvation. Jesus is the Messiah, but he is rejected. He is born in a human family, but the gospel emphasizes that he is not an ordinary human. He is born from the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew recounts how Jesus was baptized when he was about 30 years old and then tested by the devil. But he resisted the temptations. Jesus then began to teach and preach all over Israel. When we look at Jesus' temptations, we'll talk about that a little bit later in our lesson. But we could see that he is an example for you and I to follow, to emulate in our lives as Christians. Many Jews fluctuated between believing Jesus to be their Messiah and rejecting him because his teaching was sometimes hard to take. The religious leaders rejected Jesus right from the beginning. And at the end of the book, end of Matthew's gospel, we see where Matthew tells of Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. We see their obvious hate and rejection of Jesus as their Messiah. well, this Jesus is going to rock the boat. He's going to take away what we enjoy, the prestige, the eminence, the people looking up to us. But Jesus is changing everything. He's changing the rules. He's doing away with what we are used to. So they had a hatred for Jesus. Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew recounts a lot of Jesus' teaching about this subject, partially told in the form of parables. Moreover, Matthew reports about miracles that Jesus performed. Jesus heals various kinds of sickness, and he casts out demons. He overrules natural laws by walking on water and feeding thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fishes. These miracles demonstrate his power and authority. That must have been an awesome sight to see someone healed. That must have been an awesome sight to see the multitudes being fed by Jesus with just a small amount of food. In chapter 10, Jesus sends his disciples out to do similar miracles and to spread the very same message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We as Christians today are very fortunate that we can go back to God's word and see the way we are supposed to conduct ourselves. That is a blessing. And that's a blessing that we should be sharing with others. In Matthew, we see that Jesus is crucified and raises from the dead. In the last part of Matthew's gospel, we read how Jesus predicts his arrest, suffering, death, and resurrection. And the disciples find this hard to understand. And they were with Jesus. They were with him constantly. But they also missed what Jesus was saying. And the way they understood Jesus' teachings is when the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Jesus' last week is recounted in detail, beginning with his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, depicting him as the King of the Jews. We read how Jesus shared the Passover meal with his disciples, and how they went to a place called Gethsemane. There Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples, arrested and tried by the Jewish leaders, who could find no evidence to accuse him. But they wanted to do away with him. They wanted to kill him because Jesus was claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah. They had taken him to the Roman official Pilate, who issued the decree to have Jesus crucified. Jesus died and was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead as he has prophesied. He proved that he really does have power over sin, death, and the devil. The 11 disciples finally believed too. They witnessed Jesus' death. They witnessed Jesus' burial. And also they witnessed Jesus' resurrection. And finally, they witnessed Jesus' ascension in Acts chapter 1, verses 9. They saw Jesus go into heaven. They were commanded to teach everyone to obey Jesus and to live as people of the kingdom of heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that Jesus had assigned them a job to fulfill, and that is to share with everyone in the world his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's how the church first started in the second chapter of Acts. Matthew's gospel conveys the authoritative teaching by and about Jesus. Jesus comes marked the fulfillment of God's promises. He fulfilled what the prophets said about him. Matthew's gospel is exceptional in his extensive appeal to Jesus' fulfillment of the Old Testament patterns, requirements, and expectations. These are present not simply as predictions and fulfillments, but as indications of the fulfillment of all the hopes of the Old Testament and of the purpose of Israel's existence. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, can I get a volunteer to read that particular verse, please?
Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us.
Thank you, Di. So we see that Matthew talks about this. Where did we hear this before? Isaiah. We read that a little while ago. In the seventh chapter, verse 14. Jesus' temptation. Matthew talks about that. In Matthew chapter 4, we read about how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. This account is important because we witness Jesus both as the Son of Man and the Son of God. We see this as he experienced spiritual guidance as well as hunger. In the story, Jesus spoke words that are often quoted in Christian circles today. Man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. When we read about the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, it's an example Jesus has set for you and I, because he was tempted in all ways, just as we are tempted in all ways. And he shows that he didn't succumb to that temptation. He overcame that temptation. We, as Christians, should focus all our efforts to be like Jesus. Jesus' ability to resist the devil and his commandment for us to emulate him are meant to show us that we can do the same thing, that we too can overcome temptation. And this story from Jesus' life offers both admonishment and hope for you and I. We have the hope because there's something better for us, and that is eternal life. Another point in Matthew's book is the Sermon on the Mount. We see in chapter 5, in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, we read about the Beatitudes. Jesus' words offer encouragement to believers, letting them know under what circumstances they will be blessed, and make clear that despite hardship, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven. These words to his disciples often foreshadow offer a foreshadowing of persecution that will come later. And we see that his disciples didn't escape being persecuted for the name of the Lord. We're right in the middle of chapter 4 of the book of Acts, and we see how the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, are trying to squish Peter and John from proclaiming Jesus the Christ. But they didn't succeed. And we're going to read this coming Sunday about how they were unified to boldly go out and preach the gospel. How they were glad they had the opportunity to share the message of the cross. Matthew also teaches us about the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer appears in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. And also it also appears in Luke chapter 11 verses 1 through 4. And Jesus' prayer is significant because he shows why Christians pray and how they should pray. Jesus speaks to why Christians pray when he says, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 6 and verse 10. And as Jesus did with his own life, we are tasked with honoring God in everything that we do. When we pray with this in mind, we don't just utter prayers that are self-serving, but rather serving God. And this prayer offers a reminder that in order to receive forgiveness from God, we also have to extend forgiveness to others in our lives. Matthew gives us a cure for anxiety. And the 6th chapter of Matthew also holds an account of Jesus speaking on the issue of anxiety, a common thread in the lives of unbelievers and believers alike today. Jesus makes the case against anxiety by comparing our life to that of an animal. He specifically chooses a bird. Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? The 6th chapter, verse 26. By reminding us of the attention and care God gives to the animals, Jesus wants his followers to know God, to know God gives them even more consideration. Unlike the animals, we are made in God's image. And we talked about that back in Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 26. Jesus goes even further and compares Solomon's fortunes to the flowers and says, not even Solomon in his splendor was adorned like the flowers. And God created that. And we as his children enjoy that. And as all humanity looks at that. And this affirmation of God's care should encourage believers to trust God in all circumstances, no matter how anxiety may be affecting them. We should put our trust and hope in God. Matthew also touches on the issue of divorce. Jesus confronts an issue of divorce. The Pharisees ask him to clarify when divorce would be permissible. And Jesus informs them, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. Matthew 19:9. Prior to his answer, he also reaffirmed the magnitude of marriage. so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. He quotes Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. That's near and dear to God's heart. And divorce is almost as common as marriage today in America. Remembering what Jesus said about divorce can help Christians realign their perspective on how much God values relationships. That's so important in our lives. The family unit, the man and the wife. And God expects that relationship to grow, not only in love for one another, but also love for God. Another story that Matthew shares with us is the rich young ruler, chapter 19. Matthew writes about the rich ruler, the rich young man who asked Jesus about attaining salvation. And Jesus reminds the man of some of the commandments, to which the young ruler responds that he adhered to each of these. Then Jesus tells him he can do more by giving away his fortunes to the needy. Instead, he will have new treasures found in heaven. And sadly, the man left because the idea of giving away his possessions was not appealing. How true that is today. When people focus on acquiring wealth instead of worshiping God. And this story speaks to the value we put on people, on the people and the items of the earth. And Jesus wants us to know that the treasures in heaven exceed what earth can offer. There's much more that we have when we look for eternal life. And we can't even describe it when we read the Bible. It's even better than our vivid imagination. Matthew talks about the great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And the best action we can perform each day as Christians is acting in love. We are called to love God first and foremost. Secondly, Jesus commands that we love one another because everyone is created in the image of God. If we act in accordance with Jesus' example, we will not discriminate who we share our love with, be that family, friends, or strangers. Though the relationships will look different, the godly love is still the same. And that's what Jesus had shared with us when he was here. He didn't hang out with religious leaders who understood and read scripture. He hung out with those sinners who needed the gospel, who needed salvation, who needed encouragement. We see the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." So he commissioned his 11 disciples to go baptize and teach. Now they're not here. It's up to you and I to go, to baptize them, and to teach to the best of our ability. Some may say, well, look, I don't have the skill set to go out and stand before an audience and proclaim God's word. Yes, you can. You can teach one-on-one. You can ask people to help you, your brothers and sisters, to share that message so that you could teach someone. So lessons from Matthew's life. God will use anyone, no matter his or her past, if they are willing to be used by him. Our gifts and talents, like Matthew's attention to detail, can be used for the good of the kingdom if we are willing to give them to God. Radical transformation is possible. Look at Matthew. He was a tax collector, but yet he turned his life and followed Jesus. Jesus is worth the cost. Matthew gave up a lot when he chose to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is worth the cost. That's important to remember in our lives. Matthew's gospel shares with his readers that Jesus of Nazareth is the long-awaited Messiah. He brought God's kingdom on earth and opened the way to true peace and freedom for whoever believes in him. The Gospel of Matthew is an excellent introduction to the core teachings of Christianity. The logical outline style makes it easy to locate discussions of various topics in the book. We see Matthew is especially useful for understanding how the life of Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. I wish we had time to delve into the book, into certain scriptures, but we don't. I hope and pray that you will use your time to meditate on God's word in Matthew, to pray for God for help understanding his message in the Gospel of Matthew, to pray about it, but also apply it to your lives.